Well, greetings, friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another message of salvation to those of you who would realize your need of a Savior. And I trust that all of you listening to my voice today will just take a break from whatever you've been doing and listen to the Word of God. You know, it seems as though people today are just too busy to listen to the Word of God. Yes, they've got time for business, time for pleasure, but for Christ the Crucified, not a place that He can enter in the heart for which He died. We'll open up the broadcast today with a lovely hymn, and it's entitled, Glory to His Name.
Glory to His name. Glory to His name. The cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Thank God today that I can say like the hymn writer, glory to His name. Well, friends, on this Voice of the Gospel program, I seek to bring before the unsaved listener the significance of listening to God's Word. After all, if I don't substantiate what I say with chapter and verse, then I couldn't blame anyone for not heeding what I say. But friend, when I tell you that God says something, then you'd better listen, because He is the one with whom we have to do. Not only that, but God promises to bless His Word. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, we're told that God's Word shall not return unto Him void. Again, in Romans 3 and 4, we're told that God be true and every man a liar. So that's it, friend. You as an individual creature of God, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, must give heed to the Word of God. Now, in this regard, I want to tell you that if you don't give heed to God's Word, then the alternative is the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 12 and verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. With that solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy holy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace, coming from the heights of heaven down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, our God, that it was grace that caused Him to shed His precious blood at the place called Calvary. We thank Thee, our God, for His great heart of love and mercy and grace expressed in His death there nearly 2,000 years ago. And God, we thank Thee that He rose from the dead, and He now sits at Thy right hand. And our God, we who are saved are looking for that blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall soon come to the air to claim from the world His own. Father, we ask Thy blessing upon this day of grace, and pray Thy blessing upon every faithful effort being made to win sinners to Thy Son. Father, save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, if you have these scriptures handy, if you care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using just one verse of the Bible today, found in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she, meaning the virgin called Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, in the present evil world in which we find ourselves living, there are many conditions which bring sadness to the true child of God. We see a world which is beset by sin on every hand. We see the devil gaining strength and souls at every opportunity. We see spiritual wickedness and weakness amongst those who have been redeemed by blood. And the world of professing Christendom is hastening on to the coming judgment. Now friends, these are sad conditions to say the least. And they do bring grief to the hearts of God's dear people. But you know, there's something that brings as much sorrow and revulsion to my own heart as any of the aforementioned conditions. It is something which strikes my heart like a piercing arrow. And that is to hear a sinner take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. No, I can't think of anything which sends chills up my spine more than to hear a sinner speak flippantly about the Son of God. Now friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to bring before the unsaved sinner seven important facts concerning the name of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, I shall rely quite heavily upon the Word of God, because His Word is that of the highest possible authority and veracity, whereas the words of man are, at the very best, quite feeble. The first thing I want you to notice about the name of Jesus is its meaning. In our text for today, Matthew 1 and verse 21, we read that His name was to be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we see then that his very name meant Savior. Now friend, I believe it's logical to assume that if you had a toothache, you would go to a dentist. If you had a broken leg, you would call a doctor. And if your eyes required glasses, you would likely visit an optometrist. Yes, each one of these men is especially fitted for a specific type of work insofar as physical impotency is concerned. Now then, using the same logic, I believe that you'll have to agree that Jesus Christ, the great physician, would be the one to see when you realize that you're a sinner who is spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And if there's any question in your mind as to your spiritual condition in God's sight, again, let me refer you to the Bible. In Psalm 51 and verse 5, we read that we're all born in sin and chastened in iniquity. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, God says that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Romans 3 and 10, we read that there is none righteous, no, not one. And in that same Romans chapter 3, at the end of verse 22 and verse 23, we read that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there we have it, friend, directly from the Word of God. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's where you are today, my friend, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. Therefore, you are at enmity with God, and you have fallen short of His glory. And should you remain in this condition until you die, or until the Lord comes, you would spend all eternity in hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Now, the second thing I want you to notice about the name of Jesus is the fact that he who bore that name is the only one who can save your soul. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, here's what St. Peter says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Yes, friend, Jesus Christ is the only one who can save your hell-deserving soul. He is the only one who can bring lost mankind back to a new and proper relationship with their Creator God, because He is the new and living way into the very presence of God. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross over 1900 years ago, He was the just one dying for we the unjust, so that He might bring us back to God. And in Romans 5 and 1 we read that if we are true Christians, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're trying to gain favor in the sight of God by your good works, you may as well stop right now. God says that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. The only way you can please God is to accept His Son as your own and personal Savior. In Titus 3 and 5, we're told, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So, friend, forget about your so-called good works, your religious rituals and church membership. These are nothing but an abomination in the sight of a holy God, if you've never been saved. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And even the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So, friend, why not admit today that you're a sinner that needs to be saved? Yes, why not admit that your so-called good works are nothing but filthy rags in God's sight? Admit your sins nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And, friend, why not acknowledge even today that He and He alone can save your soul from hell? In John 10 and 9, He said, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Again in John 14 and 6, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way," not one of the ways. He says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." So, friend, why wait any longer? Listen to God as He exclaims over in Romans 10 and verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, this leads us to the third point I want to make regarding the name of Jesus Christ, and that is, sinners who call upon Him shall not only be saved, but shall also receive forgiveness of sins. In Acts 10 and verse 43, God says, "To Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." Now, friend, what more could you ask for? Here is the Son of God, ready, willing, and able to cleanse you from all your sin. He's able to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Are you going to turn Him down? Are you going to trample underfoot the precious blood that cleanseth from all sin? Oh, I hope not, sinner friend, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, we who are saved know the joy of sins forgiven, and that's the reason I sponsor this program of the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings that Jesus Christ died on the cross and bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Yes, I thank God today that His name was Jesus. This fact of sins forgiven is further substantiated by what we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. "I write unto you because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." Now, what more assurance could we have than that? Yes, than that which we find in the Word of God. Yes, God is so pleased by the death of His dear Son that He forgives the sinner who places his trust in Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth important fact concerning the name of Jesus is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. There we read these words which were written by the Apostle Paul to the assembly at Corinth. "Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, friend, the word justification simply means that once a sinner acknowledges his sin and accepts by faith alone Jesus Christ as his Savior in the sight of a holy God, that individual appears as righteous. He's just as righteous as God Himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we read that God hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yes, that individual, as far as God is concerned, is as free from sin's guilt as though he had never sinned at all. He is justified by his faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we not told that over in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And furthermore, when a sinner trusts Christ, he appears as a new creature in the sight of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, God says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," or a new creation. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Friend, let me ask you today, are you a new creature in Christ? Or have you tried to make yourself a new creature without Christ? By that I mean, are you born again by the Holy Spirit of God? The verse says, "Justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." On the other hand, perhaps you're depending upon reformation to take you to heaven. Perhaps you've turned over a so-called new leaf. Perhaps you quit drinking, smoking, and swearing. Now you're going to church and you feel pretty secure about the great change that has taken place. Friend, reformation is a change from the outside by the will of man, but regeneration is a change from the inside by the power and Spirit of God. And you can experience that change right now by placing your trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and your Lord. Yes, you can be justified this very moment through faith in Him who bare your sins on the cross and who bore the wonderful soul-saving name of Jesus. Now, friends, the fifth important fact concerning the name of Jesus Christ is that it is the name which brings eternal life. In John 20 and verse 31 we read, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Again, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, we read practically the same thing. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now that's the Word of God, friend, and I believe you'll have to agree that it is quite clear. Yes, once a sinner realizes that he is spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin, he can receive eternal life through Him who was named Jesus. In John 5 and 24 we read from the lips of Jesus Christ Himself, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Is there someone listening in today who would like to have eternal life? Is there a sinner listening who realizes that they're spiritually dead in the sight of a holy God? Is there a sinner within the sound of my voice who would like to know their sins forgiven? Well, if there is, then let me point you to the only one who can save your soul, the only one who can forgive your sins, the only one who can give you eternal life. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Friend, if we were to take time today to go further into the name of Jesus, we would find that He was also called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And oh, how true that is. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was the God-man and the man-God. And I can't help but marvel afresh today at the love of God that would cause Him to come down in condescension to die on the cross for His rebellious creature. Yes, I thank God afresh for His unspeakable gift. And friend, don't forget that He was a gift. Jesus Christ Himself said in John 3 and 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, sinner friend, before I go on to the next point, I want to mention the fact that He who bore the name Jesus not only gives life, but He gives eternal life. It's not just for a year or for a century. It's forever and forever. He gives the Christian this assurance in John chapter 10 and verse 28 when He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now to you who are saved, isn't it wonderful to know that we belong to Jesus Christ and that we can never perish because we're kept by the power of God? Yes, we're as sure of heaven as though we were already there, and all because of simple faith in Him who bore the name of Jesus. Now the sixth fact I want you to notice about the name of Jesus is that before a sinner can be saved, he must believe on Him who bore that wonderful name. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we read concerning Jesus Christ, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now, friend, in speaking to sinners concerning their soul, I have found that they are invariably stumbling over the simplicity of God's way of salvation. This condition, I believe, can be attributed to two facts. First, the sinful heart and mind of mankind is in complete rebellion to the will of a loving and gracious God. Secondly, we who preach the gospel are so anxious to see souls saved that our zealousness is used by the devil to confuse the sinner and lead him to believe that salvation by faith is difficult. Listen, sinner friend. It's the devil, the enemy of your soul, who is telling you even today that it's difficult to be saved. Perhaps he's telling you that you have to reform before you can be saved. Friend, that's not true. Perhaps he's telling you that you have to experience some vision or dream or some type of a feeling. Listen, friend, if you're waiting for a feeling, you'll get your feeling all right when you drop into the flames of hell. Feelings have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith in the blood of Christ. Oh, friend, please don't be deluded by the devil. Salvation is through simple childlike faith in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. It's depending upon the finished work of God's dear Son at Calvary's cross. Yes, it's simply trusting Jesus Christ with your soul, and it's making Him the Lord of your life. You may recall the cry of the Philippian jailer over in Acts 16 and verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And friend, the answer he was given is just as true today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, it's put this way. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, sinner friend, that is the affirmative aspect of believing in Jesus Christ. Ah, but there's also a negative aspect. If we were to turn over to John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we would read these words by Jesus Christ Himself. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Friend, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior and trample underfoot His sin-cleansing blood, as sure as you're listening to this broadcast of the gospel, you'll spend all eternity in hell and the lake of fire. So in view of this fact, why not come to Jesus Christ right now, just as you are and just where you are? Take your place as a lost and guilty sinner, then simply believe that He who bear the name Jesus Christ shed His blood to save you from eternal torment. And friend, remember this. If you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. You may have no regard for the name of Jesus Christ now, but the time will come when even those down in hell will pay homage to that blessed name. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, we read that God also hath highly exalted Him, meaning Jesus Christ, and hath given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now friends, the last point I want to make concerning the name of Jesus Christ is the one which is not too pleasant to discuss, because it has to deal with false profession. False profession. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19 we read, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Friends, there are many professing Christians today who are living lives which prove that they are Christians in name only and are spiritually dead. Sure, they can look back to a time when they were dedicated or confirmed, a time when they went forward to the altar and shook the preacher's hand, a time when they signed a pledge card and joined the church, a time when they were baptized or sprinkled. But listen, friends. That is not God's way of salvation as found in the Bible. Ritualism and formalism will never save your soul. Hebrews 9 and 22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And friend, whether you believe it or not, the fact remains, a sinner can only be saved from hell by first of all acknowledging that he is a sinner in the sight of a holy God. And secondly, by faith alone, appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ to his sin-sick soul. So that's it, friend, and nothing need be added. Jesus Christ has paid the price of redemption at the place called Calvary, and all you have to do is to believe it with all your heart. Now, in closing, friend, let me ask you, have you ever been born again? Jesus Christ said in John 3 and verse 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, friend, you can be born again right now by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And if you do that, you can take God's word for it, my friend. If you'll do that right now, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, We bow our hearts in thy presence again at the close of another radio message to thank thee for extending the day of grace so that we might have this blessed opportunity and privilege of preaching Christ crucified, Christ crowned, and Christ coming again. And Lord, we believe that thy Holy Spirit is dealing with some out in Radio Land today. And our God, we pray that thy Holy Spirit, even now, would give them conviction and conversion. May they trust thy Son alone as Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. May they close in with that Savior right now and know the joy of sin forgiven and life eternal. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some good basic and fundamental Christian literature, I'll be happy to send it to you. If you'd like some gospel tracts, I'll send that to you as well, absolutely without price. Yes, you can have this literature absolutely free and postpaid. Just send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. That address is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now into our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.